the mountain, run the road, run past the eight stand to the commode. Oh, run steep, get high, run flat, stay low. One stream, two guys, mountain outpost. Now here's your host.
All right, hello, hello. Welcome to a live edition of the Mountain Outpost podcast. I am your co-host, Jam Jam, Jamil Curry here. With
Skizzle Fresh, Skylar Hall, in the building, in person.
Yeah, this is history being made right here. First time together, in person doing this podcast. We started this podcast. We're gonna give a little bit of history for those of you that don't know who we are or our channel. We have a YouTube channel, Mountain Outpost. It is also kind of our online store for all things AeroViper running, Run Steep, Get High. But we started doing some. We launched this YouTube channel like 5 years ago.
2016.
We did the drop bag challenge, and we've done some other kind of crazy challenges, but we wanted to launch this podcast the start of this year, and about a year ago.
About a year ago, yeah. We were doing challenge videos before Nick Simmons made it cool, so it only seemed appropriate we launch a podcast before he also swaggerjacked us for that, so here we are.
Yeah, pretty much. So I am really into trail and ultra running. Skylar is...
I'm a run flat specialist. I'm your cross country track, the person who's not running steep and getting high. You can go ahead and do Hard Rock and Barkley. I'll stick around the Turkey Trot 5K and enjoy my life.
So we thought it'd be kind of fun. We used to live both in the Phoenix area. He moved up to Oakland. So kind of gives us a nice 90 minutes each week to connect on what's going on in our lives and also what's happening in the running scene. So that's what we're gonna get into today. We're gonna talk about what has been happening in the trail and ultra world, as well as the track, road, cross-country scene. We're just gonna chat about it. We'll have some Q&A at the end, and should be a good time.
Yeah, it's weird that we never planned on the podcast originally being 90 minutes, so the fact that we're time limited to 45 minutes before they shut off the lights on us is great, but that might also mean we get Mountain Outpost after dark at 4 p.m. Central Time. So if you Absolutely. Have your dancing shoes ready and you're ready to rock, grab your beer, and let's get weird. It'll be fun. But dude, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been really fun to hang out this week. And the cool thing is I'm training consistently again, which is very exciting. Something that I've been missing for like 2 years now or more. So yeah, got my coach. I did my workout this week.
Yes, you did.
Right along the river path. So I got my 400s in and you know, had to hold back a little bit this morning. I know you had a good run today. What'd you run at that Indy 5K?
Yeah, hopped in the Indy 5K today. In fairness, my legs were fresher than I anticipated going into this 5K because of my DNF at Quad Dipsy this past weekend. But I ran like 17:52, I think, officially, which is the fastest 5K I've run since college. So, yeah, don't applaud for that. No, I'm excited. It means that maybe there is hope for me in my 30s to finally be like on the upswing again. So I'm excited. It's a good performance. Sets me up for success as I get ready for yet another road marathon, the third that I'll do in like a 4.5 month span or something crazy. So yeah, we live very different lives.
Yeah, you're getting after the roads. I will definitely be training for the Barkley marathons over the coming couple of months. So it's gonna be fun to kind of catch up each week and see how we're doing.
Yeah, it's been far too long that I've been running more miles per week than you have. I think we were talking this week, and you said that basically a third of the miles that you've run this year have been in the middle of races between Cocodona, Hard Rock, UTMB. You're an idiot, dude. You gotta train, man. Come on.
Yeah, we're gonna change that up. So we're on a good trajectory.
Sweet.
Exciting times. So we're gonna kick things off, kind of recapping some things going on in the trail scene. So the first big one, Ultra Trail Cape Town, which is, I believe, the final stop on the Ultra Trail World Tour ever.
Yeah.
Believe so. There might be one more, but I think it is the end. The official end, of course. Ironman and UTMB are launching the World Series, and that means it is the death of the Ultra Trail World Tour, which has been, I think, this great thing. We've been a part of it for a few years with the Javelina 100. It brought together a lot of great races around the world. I know some of them are now joining the World Series, so, but yeah, forever it will be in our hearts. But this edition was very interesting due to this new variant of the COVID.
Omicron.
Yeah, Omicron. So when that broke, they were just not even starting the races yet. The cases are spiking up and definitely provided some extra drama, I think. But some takeaways, I thought that the live stream was really awesome that they had. So one thing that they did differently was one of their camera views. I don't know if you saw this. They had the cameras like strapped to the chest of the runner that was chasing. So you could see like the arm swing when they're going up the mountain.
Nice.
And then when it gets steeper and steeper, they're kind of like unfortunately kind of leaning down a little bit. So you're seeing more like the feet of Jim Walmsley. But it was pretty cool, like that action shot. And then they had a global commentary team. So, you know, Dylan Bowman, who's been part of so many great live streams this year, was commentating from back home and joining Emily Hawgood and their local team in South Africa. Nice. But of course, your winners of the big 100K, Jim Walmsley, Courtney DeWalter, so went to the Americans this time around. And Marianne Hogan was second. She's going to be racing Black Bandera, and I think also registered for Canyons, so a Western States hopeful.
Absolutely.
And then Sebastian Spieler, who I believe already has an entry into Western States, got second as well. So that is going to be fun to see him toe the line. He, of course, won the very last edition of the North Face 50 San Fran 2019. So
also, RIP North Face.
Yes, 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 yes. So yeah, that's kind of the wrap on Cape Town.
It's interesting, you know, with the transition to the World Series and how that's all taking shape, that so many people still want to get one last good run in at the end of the season, into 2021. I wonder how much of that is driven by the lack of racing the past 20 or so months, but it'll be nice to see the transition and how people start to adapt and get ready for this somewhat amorphous still UTMB qualification system.
And one more thing interesting to note for Ultra Trail Cape Town, they're adding a 100 miler next year. I'm not too familiar with the race course, but it sounds like it'll be pretty epic. Check it out.
Slam to the damned 3.5 to get you out to Cape Town?
Could happen.
What's the worst that could happen?
Moving on to Quad Dipsy. Unfortunately for you, didn't work out this time. But Arden Young was our winner. Yep. Second place in 2019, took the win here for the women in a time of 4:48. And then Rod Farvard was first for the men in 3:48. That's a great time.
Yeah.
That's a stout time.
Yeah, I think it's definitely top 10 overall. And like actually seeing it in person, he was grooving. Like I saw him, obviously he passed me a couple of times as I was hanging out and just in the middle of the race. And he looked strong throughout. This shouldn't have been a surprise based on his previous performances and what he's done earlier this year. And I think he's on the list for Bandera. So definitely somebody to keep a lookout for in a month's time chasing another golden ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. What were the conditions like this year out there? Because I know when we ran it a few years ago together, it was sloppy, rainy, muddy.
It was the exact opposite of that.
Okay.
Yeah, so not a lot of rain at all has been in Northern California. When you're in Old Mill Park, like at the start line, you're basically in this large tree covering section, so it's kind of dank and humid. But as soon as you get up, it was warm. It was sunny. I mean, there's a reason I sweat out and turned into a prune on top of cardiac. Yeah, we got up to, you know, high 60s, low 70s, and just the sun beating directly down on you. So good for him for finishing before it got super hot, and good on the rest of the competitors who were out there for 7, 8, 9 hours, just burning off that that Thanksgiving dinner.
And so both Arden and Rod will be at Bandera.
Yeah.
Be towing the line there.
Good times.
Next story, this is a big one, maybe the biggest of this entire show. Killian is leaving Salomon, like the company he started with. It's like over 15-year partnership, kind of really became the face of the brand, and I don't know how to feel about this. I feel like reading through the I Run Far article about it, it felt like his obituary, like all these great times that Killian had. But yeah, he's moving on to what he calls a personal project, slash his own, starting his own company. So I think that's pretty intriguing to see what he's gonna be up to. Certainly exciting to watch Killian over the years. an incredible career so far. I don't think he's done by any stretch, but you know, an end of an era for Solomon, the brand, and for Killian and their partnership. So it will also be interesting to see what direction they move in the future, moving forward from here.
Yeah, I mean, this is akin to like Tom Brady leaving the Patriots, or like if Messi ever left Barca. Like, it's this on par with someone, you've been with someone for half your life, and then you're like, I'm good, I'm gonna go try this new thing over here. Like, it hits differently. It hurts in a different way.
I mean, we
way.
Were trying to think of someone else in the trail ultra running space, and we couldn't.
Like, no.
I don't think anyone's been with like a sponsor that long and built up that sort of relationship, so.
I mean, he'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him. Solomon will be fine. Obviously, they have been crushing it. You have both UTMB winners on your roster, so I think they'll do just fine. But we'll see. You know, once January 1st comes and we start seeing contract changeovers for across the industry, especially with an Olympics just happening, I think this just falls into it, and this might be trail running's first big splash of 2022.
Yeah, we'll definitely be covering those as they happen. Next up, we're starting to get to the end of the year, so we're going to be talking about some of the performances of the year, ultra runners of the year for various magazines, organizations. We already have USATF Mutt Council, the Mountain Ultra Trail. They downsized the number of awards they gave out this year. So normally it's like 21 awards, all kinds of different things. They just did 4 this year. So these are your Mountain Runners of the Year. Joseph Gray, again, crushed it this year. It's like clockwork. And held off a hard-charging Darren Thomas at Broken Arrow while he could only see, I think, out of one eye. So pretty impressive. Grayson Murphy for the ladies, again, a repeat winner of that. And then your Masters runners, Max King, who's had a great year, all sorts of different event distances and like disciplines, which is par for the course for Max.
Absolutely.
And then Cassie Enman, who has been up there before as well. So that's your wrap so far, and we'll be looking forward to Ultra Running Magazine. They're bringing back Ultra Runner of the Year. We actually
misspoke.
Yeah,
last
week
remember.
We got a little correction issue. It. So yeah, last year they just did Performance of the Year, and they did publish that in the magazine, and so we knew that, but we omitted it from our brains. So.
Yeah, you know, like time is a flat circle, and the last year has felt like 10 years. Yeah, that's why we forgot. So we're going to attribute it to that, and no promises that we'll do better next year. But that voting should be happening soon, and yeah, we'll start seeing things roll out at, normally it's the beginning of the year that I think they start doing the countdown, right? So.
Yeah, typically. So once Desert Solstice wraps up a week from Saturday, that'll kind of be the last one that's included, and then there'll be the voting and all that kind of process. All right, we're going to move into some Run Flat, Stay Low news.
Run Flat
and
news,
yes. We're going to kind of wrap up the show with some previews coming up, like what to watch this weekend. There is a lot going on.
Way too much happening this weekend. So let's talk about the week that was first and foremost. We talked about it last week on the show. If you did not watch the NCAA Cross Country Championships, make sure you hop on YouTube and find those videos. But one of the big stories coming out of it was Cooper Tier and his struggle fest to get across the finish line, refusing to be helped, but you know, trying to do the ultra running sort of move in cross country and just like get to the finish by any means necessary. He has gotten to the finish of his college career and has signed with Nike, to the surprise of absolutely no one, following his teammate Cole Hocker and their great run this past track season. So we'll see him lacing up probably this indoor season very soon. Well, still in Nikes because he went to Oregon, you know, Nike University. But we'll see what he does as he's trying to get ready for World Championships 2022 happening in a very familiar place for him, Eugene, Oregon. In other sponsor news, Connor Mance. BYU just won his second cross-country national championship, officially said farewell to the BYU family, although I have a hunch that he's not going to actually go too far from Provo. He's still listed as a Provo resident, but he has not announced a new sponsor. I'm sure somebody in this expo floor has an idea where he's going to land, Saucony, but we'll see where Connor Mance ultimately ends up here, as he's now also wrapped up his college career. Let's talk about the pros, other pros that have been crushing it for a while. We had the World Athletics group. They announced their athletes of the year. Not a huge surprise here on the women's side. You had Elaine Thompson Hurrah, the gold medalist in the 100 and 200 in Tokyo, defending both of those medals from back in 2016. She is your winner on the women's side, also the Diamond League champ. And another Diamond League champ on the men's side, Carson Warholm, set the 400-meter hurdle world record in Oslo and then showed up to Tokyo and said, hold my beer, and did it yet again, leading three men under the old world record time. And for that, for those results this year and Diamond League Championship, he also comes home with an Athlete of the Year award. Let's move to the roads, because it's turkey trot season, and people, this is what people get up for, right? This is the one time a year they're like, hey, like, I can get out, I can do it one time with my family, and like, time doesn't matter because like, I'm walking and jogging with them, but really, you just were really lazy for 3 months. These pros weren't. Ben Flanagan on the men's side at Manchester Road Race. It's a 4.748, super obscure distance, but it's a good race, well-storied history. It's like one of the oldest road races in America. He wins in 21:23, crushes the back half after Sam Chalenga led over the King of the Hill mark. So at least Sam gets a little bit of money in his pocket, but he goes home in third. Lenny Carrier takes the silver at Manchester. On the women's side, nobody is surprised about the result here. Wendy Colati, the Dark Sky Under Armour athlete, continuing her success this fall campaign, just went off the front yet again, just like she did at 5K Champs, and won by 62 seconds. Excuse me, she won by like 80 seconds. Set a new course record by 62 seconds over Kira D'Amato, who, in case everybody forgot, is also damn fast. So the fact that Wayne is just on this tear and really building momentum towards his indoor season, ultimately world champs, means she's going to be one to watch. So Team USA just got a lot more stout as we prepare to host World Championships next year. And on the cross side, we got to drop down. We got to talk about Newberry Park. It's a story I've been seeing closely all year as a California resident. They might be the greatest high school cross-country team in history. In Division I California State meet, they go 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 overall to take the title. One of those people that got in that 5-6 spot was actually just an individual qualifier, so they scored 16 points at the state meet, and they were tapering for it, kind of, but they actually have their eyes on the Garmin Running Lane Cross Country National Championship this weekend, one of many things to watch. So we're going to find out this weekend if they, in fact, can call themselves the greatest high school cross country team in history. But look, when you perfect score Southern Section and then go to the state meet and just score one extra point, that's a level of domination that is just absurd and mind-blowing. And they really only have two seniors on that team. So one of them is going to graduate, Colin Solomon. He's going to go to NAU, a team that is also very familiar with winning recently, winning 5 of the last 6 NCAA championships. There's no stopping this team. Like, this could be a very fun weekend, but we'll see if some folks try to knock them off. So that's the weekend that was in Run Flat news, at least happenings on the road. There were some things happening in court that we can talk about real quick. USATF under investigation, allegedly. It has not been confirmed because it's a federal investigation, but we know the deal. Based on their interactions with Nike and some of the financials coming out, USATF has gotten some grand jury subpoenas for their interactions. Marketing firms are involved. Max Siegel and some of his holding companies and things that used to be called Company of Max Siegel, and folks who had email addresses that had at Max Siegel Inc. in them are all being brought to the fore. This is a long brewing conversation, it feels like, between the long-term contract that Nike signed back in 2014 to carry USATF sponsorship through 2040. Some of the conversations that IAAF and now World Athletics had investigating how Oregon ended up with the World Championships in 2021, now 2022, and a bunch of interesting academic papers that have been investigating whether the Nike sponsorship to begin with was already violating antitrust law. So a lot more to come out about this. You know, nobody's really confirming things officially as of yet, but as these things come to light, I am certain more and more people will come out of the shadows and say their piece about the happenings of USATF, Nike, and that whole enterprise. So for all of the other brands here on the expo floor, now might be your time to capitalize because you might get your athletes to get a bit more shine as we approach World Championships. So that's what's happened in the week that was. But man, this weekend coming up is one to watch as well.
Woo.
Beer
time. Take a breath.
Yes.
All right. Transition now away from that. we've got some lotteries this weekend. So kind of the ultra lottery weekend. I know for many of us, this will probably determine a lot of what happens next year. So we've got two big 100 milers here in the US. We've got the Western States 100. We've got the Hard Rock 100, both holding their lotteries on Saturday. Let's run through just some interesting tidbits about them this year. They're a little bit different than normal, partially due to the pandemic and some other factors. So if you entered the Western States Lottery, you've got either one all the way up to 128 tickets. So if you got one ticket, your odds are 1.1%. If you have 128 tickets, your chance is 77.2%. For the most ticket holders.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. So something interesting, last year they cleared the wait list completely and they did not try and add or redraw anyone in. This is mostly due to international runners. So they started less than normal. They get a 369 runner, 5-year rolling average for their start. It's due to traveling through the Granite Chief Wilderness. Mm-hmm. So this year, they're able to bump it, so 385 starters. Now, some of those spots are gonna be taken up by those international rollovers,
right.
But there will be, 162 total slots are already taken by, and whether that's the rollovers, the top 10, golden tickets, sponsors, volunteer slots, and also race administration gets about 30 spots every year. And the rest of them will go. If you would like to increase your odds, there's still a chance. There is one more thing you can do. You can physically attend the lottery in Auburn on Saturday. It will draw three names from the audience that are there that have their name in the hat. And there will be 75 names on the wait list to draw from.
Sweet.
Moving to Hard Rock. This is the first year of the new gender equity policy that they put in place last summer. And so what does this mean? Well, it means that they will have no less than an equal percentage of women who apply that will get spots in the race. So I think this is a great step forward. And what were the results from that policy? Well, 345 of the 1,916 applicants are women. And so that's 18%, which still is low. And we'll talk about how to improve that. But it will guarantee that 26 out of the 145 spots will be for women this year or next year, which will be 11 more than the 15 starters in 2021. But basically, it's kind of in the hands now of the women out there. So find those Hard Rock qualifiers, finish those races, apply for the race. More that apply, the more slots there'll be.
So do you know, historically, for the Hard Rock Lottery, it's sort of the never run, run one to four, and then five plus.
Yeah.
obviously, there's some striations for everyone writ large, but does that gender equity break down within those three buckets as well? Or is it just, hey, across the board, we're going to make sure that 26 women are in?
I think, I honestly, it gets quite complex, so I don't think we have time to get into it today because there's also these different buckets. Essentially, I think if you've never started Hard Rock and you're in that never started pool of applicants, the women who applied to that will have a slightly better chance. Okay. And then the ones in the else. So I think they still draw from the buckets, but maybe specific to the genders.
Okay.
That's my takeaway. So odds real quick. If you've never started Hard Rock, you either have one ticket all the way up to 256 tickets, and your chances, 0.4% at the bottom, 59.9% at the top. For the veterans, so five or more finishes of the race, you've got a 49% chance up to a 96% chance for 25 ticket holder, which is one of those per cap. And then everyone else, so if you have like zero to four finishes, 6% for one ticket, and then 53% for 12 tickets. So that's what I got on that.
Just stalk Twitter. It's going to be a very long Saturday morning for you. So good luck. This is why I don't run ultras.
We do have a USATF 100-mile trail championship this weekend here in Texas, Brazos Bend 100. And we've got a couple big names. Mark Hammond, who's a stout 100-mile runner. Jim Sweeney. James Scanlon, he's a Masters favorite. On the ladies' side, Kaylee DeMergen was a podium at the Javelina 100. Mm-hmm. Liza Howard coming back strong this year with the Keys 100 win.
Yeah.
And Inga Maurer was first at the Chicago Lakefront 50. So we'll keep an eye on that one, too.
Yeah, I'm actually really interested in Luis Resendez. He participated in the Javelina 100K this year, ended up taking, I believe, third overall eventually, but he was up there early, just like neck and neck with our ultimate winner. And he's doubling back to run this race. I wonder what he's learned from his time in the desert. He'll be one to watch. And one, we had a fun time trying to track who the hell was this guy during the live stream at Javelina. And then Mark Helder. He has bib number one. I don't know what the hell that means at Brazos, but if you roll up to a USATF championship with bib number one, somebody somewhere thinks you're about to do something. So just keep that name in mind as you're tracking the results this Saturday morning.
So
yeah,
we'll watch for it.
We're deep in the cuts. And then yeah, I'm looking forward to see what Kaylee does on the women's side, especially. Obviously, she had a rough go at the 100K Road Championships.
Right.
Found herself unconscious in the bushes. So we'll see how she's bounced back from injury and toes the line here at Brazos Bend. So gonna be a fun week. USATF. Just trying to put some positive stories out there. Hopefully they can crown some national champions and at least keep things on the up and up. On the ultra side of the house, at least.
There we go.
Sweet.
I think that's all I got. I mean, there is also the Hawaii
Xterra
Trail Champ.
Yep.
So I honestly didn't deep dive too much into that. But, I mean, we'll probably see a lot of the familiar faces. Joe Gray, Andy Wacker, Grayson Murphy.
Yep.
We'll see how that plays out, too.
Absolutely. But there's so much more happening this weekend. So let's just lay down your timeline for Saturday, right? Especially if you've been at TRE going to bed at 3 a.m. because you have meetings that you have at night and then waking up at 5:30 for group runs. You're going to be catching up on some rest this weekend. So here's how we're going to occupy your time. Brazos Bend starts at 7 a.m. Eastern time on Saturday. Western States Lottery begins at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday. Hard Rock, the lottery, starts kind of rolling out their results on Twitter around noon Eastern. So that's your morning. All right, get your coffee. You're hanging out. You can watch some live streams or just like track live results. Then we start doing some fun stuff in shorter distances. So at about noon, you have that Garmin Running Lane Cross Country Championship that I was talking about in Alabama with all the high school teams. Newberry Park taking on Cheyenne Mountain is the number two team. And Niwot, also one to watch. You might know them from a bunch of basically every Boulder running team running on Niwot's Trek. So we'll see how that tears up. At 3 p.m., so you get your jog in, right? You get your Saturday saunter. We have the BU opener. That's right. It's indoor track season all of a sudden. So we have a bunch of NCAA cross-country folks coming back to run a fast 5K or 3K at the BU track. On the men's side, we got Wesley Kiptu, Abdihamid Nur, Nico Young, Casey Klinger, Christian Noble, who is the Division II record holder. He's going to be trying to break his national record in the first meet of the season. And then you have some pros hopping in as well. Matt Baxter of Hoka NAZ Elite and Jordy Beamish from on Athletic Club is going to be tearing it up on the men's side. And they're pacing that for like 13:25, which is like ridiculously fast by any metric, but especially if you're running in December. So look out for a fast one there. On the women's side in the 5K, you got Whitney Orton coming back from her NCAA victory, now running unattached from BYU, so also finishing up her college career. Courtney Waymit from BYU still there. Kaylee DeLay from Yale, and Kelsey Chamel from NC State going to be toeing the line. And on the 3K, we got some fast times going to be put down by a lot of runners. But I got to shout out Williams College. Aiden Ryan just took fourth in Division III nationals at cross country. He is going to be coming back, trying to take down the Division III 3K record. It's 7:59 for Division III is the record, and they're pacing this race for 7:50. You also got Athanas Kiyoko, who was third place in Division I in this event. So look for a very fast time and potentially a continuation of all these record times you saw in cross country turn themselves over to the track. So that's at like 3 p.m. Then at 5:30, you have the pros taking the cross country course at Mount SAC. A bunch of pro teams are supposed to be there. Bowerman, Dark Sky, Hansen's, the 10-man elite group is going to be there. Wayne Kalati, just coming off of that win at Manchester, going to be tearing it up. You've got Mason Furlick, recently signed with Adidas. This is going to be his first time officially wearing the Adidas kit. So look out for some just fun times at Mount SAC Saturday afternoon. And then when that's done, you can go back, and that'll be right when everybody's finishing at Brazos to see who actually won the championship. So your Saturday's locked down there, and then you go out.
Take the day off Sunday?
No, you can't, because Sunday is the USATF Half Marathon Championships. So that pops off at 9 a.m. Eastern time. You've got Sam Chalanga, Sydney Gidabadai, Connor Mance, just talked about him earlier, making his professional debut, question mark. let's see what shoes he wears, Saucony. And then is he going to go for the American record? Frank Lara in Valencia said he was trying to go sub 60 and take down the AR. Frank Lara's in this race, going to be pushed by Connor Mance. Listen, things will pop off Sunday morning. Get excited on the men's side. And the women's side, Kira D'Amato's back. Gwen Jorgensen's there. Maggie Montoya, Lauren Paquette, just so many names. I don't care if people think that road season is the off season. This is going to be a fire race. So if you have USATF TV, because again, you need like seven different subscription series to watch any running sport these days, you can check that out. And then an hour after that, CIM starts. Yes, the Cal International Marathon, which you get no information on because it's not a great race to try to track.
They didn't publish the entrance list?
Didn't publish an entrance list. You basically have to stalk Instagram and try to find out who's running. And also, we don't know what the Olympic trials qualifying standard is, right? Everybody goes to CIM to run a fast qualifier, but the USATF annual meeting, also happening this weekend, is going to be where they determine what time you need to hit to run in the 2024 qualifiers. So all these people running CIM might not even have this race count towards
that
qualification window.
After or during?
They will not know when that gun goes off, what the qualifying standard is, what the window is, and if this race, this course, anything like that is even going to be legitimate for their chances. But hey, if you're just trying to beat you or anything, yeah, it's fun, it's fast. You know you'll put down a good time. It'll be a nice thing for folks who are going into those contract negotiations as we enter a new Olympiad and enter a new calendar year, try to put down some money in their pockets. So we'll see what happens at CIM. That's a busy weekend. You get your long run in there somewhere, and then you clean up, you finally unpack from TRE, you hug your kids for the first time because you haven't seen them all week, and then it's Monday and it's a work week and we're back to it. So it's gonna be, dude, it's nuts. Yeah. What are we doing with our lives?
I mean, we're just running a lot, or watching running a lot.
There.
For sure.
Absolutely.
What's next?
Yo, I think at this point, do we want to give some quick impressions on our time here at TRE and open it up to some questions here in the room?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think one of the things that I've seen a lot, walking around the floor, being in sessions and whatnot here at the running event, and for those watching at home or listening on your podcatcher of choice to the Steep Life Media channel, you get the impression that there's a lot has been learned from the cultural experience of the last 2 years, right? Being cooped up and then seeing sort of what's happened, especially domestically, you get to see what retailers have gone through. A lot of independent store owners, a lot of brands here who've been just trying to make it through the pandemic, through supply chain issues, through everything, and just excited to be in person. It also is colored by just like what's happening around us outside the running space. A lot of talk about inclusion and diversity and what community means and how we actually make that, how do we broaden that conversation that we all wanna have. And like a lot of times it's easy to sort of shortcut that in your mind to the thing you can see like, oh, we don't have a lot of people of color in our local running community. Like, how do we get them in our stores? But there are so many other ways to have inclusivity in the running community. You know, different socioeconomic backgrounds, education backgrounds, just like people's different experiences. Some people came into the sport later in life, came into just athletics later in life. And some people have been doing it, been, you know, had the opportunity to do this from a very young age and be groomed in that system. So you see all of this intersectionality at work, and it's a conversation that's starting here. And I think a lot of folks walking around have a new knowledge, and now they get to go home and figure out, you know, where their motivation lies and how they can turn that potentially into action to really make the running space as open and encompassing as we all claim it to be.
Yeah, I think we all like it's aspire for that. And I think, yeah, it's a great point. Like there's so many different on-ramps, like potential on-ramps to the sport in different ways. And I think making sure those are open and accessible to everyone and welcoming is important on all different levels.
Yeah, I mean, there's a unique opportunity that our running stores and our group runs have where they can get folks just from different cross sections of life who just want to get out and run, be it 2 miles, 3 miles, trails, roads. That's a pretty open invitation. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, in a year's time when everybody's back at TRE, what steps have been made, what lessons did folks take from here, go back home and say, oh, I never saw it in this way, or now that my eyes are open to it, I notice slightly different things, and here are actions that I took, or here are conversations that I had, or here are groups that I partnered with to try to create a larger umbrella. So, I mean, it's a specific instance that you also find yourself in as a race director, and, you know, obviously, the reason we know each other is because I did some of your races, but it's fun to see so many people from different backgrounds and cultures here, not just our specific geography where we met, having similar issues, similar conversations, being able to spread that ripple effect broad and wide across, really, I would say the U.S., but also internationally.
Definitely. What else we want to touch on? We have on down here the Indy 5K. This is my first time participating in it. After coming to the running event, I think 5 times, so that's a win. Getting up early, getting after it. And I think first time at the
Circuit of the Americas.
Circuit of the Americas. That was definitely an interesting experience.
Yeah, running on the F1 course. Apparently F1's gained a lot of popularity over the past couple of years, so to be able to run on that course. I saw a lot of people having fanboy, fangirl moments out there. Some folks taking some selfies and some important turns, coming back to hang out at the finish line. It was a good scene. I can't tell you who won, because that person was off the front. I lost sight of them in the first 300 meters. I saw the truck and I was like, word, it's been real. But it was a good time. I saw some folks just out there walking, having a great time, and that's just part of the community. So
yeah, I was out there just jogging around, having a good time.
It was sweet.
It was fun.
It was flat. It was too flat for you, I know. So live your best life.
I mean, there was that hill to get up to the start. I was definitely power hiking that.
It was fun.
Any other trends on the expo floor that you took notice of while you're out here this time?
I mean, we're talking a lot about hydration. We're talking a lot about how to keep the sweat out of your eyes, how to keep the sweat, or how to look good on your eyes. A lot of interesting sunglass companies, a lot of innovation with masks. Shout out Boco for having the straw hole. It has a flap, it has a cover, so if you're not actively having a straw in the hole, you're still good. But so you have a spot for your drink, so you can have your margarita, beer, whatever your drink of choice is, have a sip, never have to take your mask off. And given how things are playing out right now, I support that wholeheartedly. Just your friendly neighborhood.
Love the creativity and definitely amazing stuff.
Yeah, a lot of recovery tools out here. We were talking to an unnamed source earlier who said And I think it might be apt, and folks at home, folks in the chat can definitely drop some thoughts in the comments below, that for many recovery companies, it feels like there's only about a 10% utility yield. There's a lot of things out there, a lot of things on the table, but you know, each company has like one or two things they do really well, and there's like a bunch of other things that are kind of there because, hey, you're already on their website, so like get their specific product. With the influx of recovery companies specifically in the space, it'll be interesting to see like who wins the award for, you know, best massage tool, best scraper, best, you know, all the little things that you got bombarded with for Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals, and you will probably find in your stockings this holiday season. Oh, before I forget, happy Hanukkah, if that's something you celebrate, because by the time we record next, that'll be over. But if you are of the Jewish faith, happy Hanukkah. Hope you are having one, have a good one, or had a good one, depending on when you listen to this, because it's the internet and you can be watching this, God knows.
On Christmas morning.
Yep. Whenever. When you're trying to avoid your family, which is usually my go-to move as well. I think, dude, let's open it up to questions. We got a few minutes left before they shut down the lights on us.
Anyone in the audience, any questions for us?
Thoughts?
We got one right here. This young sir in the... Oh, any major switch-ups was the question. As far as athlete sponsors, hopping brands, have you seen, I guess, anything besides Killian, have you seen anything drop yet, or are we kind of into the new year?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's going to hop in the new year. We obviously saw a few signings back in September, October.
I did see Sage Canada posted he re-signed with Hoka for like a long-term thing, so.
Exactly, and I think because it's the same sponsor is why you're hearing about it now, but come December 31st, January 1st, you're gonna see a lot of people change their Instagram bios, and you're gonna
see some new things pop up. Actually, I've heard of, I mean, there's rumors, of course.
Like, always.
You know, you're on a group run with someone, they're like, hey, like, I got this inside scoop. There'd definitely be some changes and like probably some surprises out there, but you know, nature of the game.
I mean, that is something we've seen across the running space is a lot of, especially with the shoe companies, a lot of parity. We're seeing a lot of folks coming. Everybody's got a carbon shoe. Everybody's got a trail shoe, it feels like at this point. So it's
traditional trail companies now having road products.
Exactly.
Well, getting more cushion.
So you're seeing an opportunity for folks to switch brands because it's not like they're losing a specific vertical or type of shoe or even a particular advantage by going to different brands. So expect a lot of movement come the beginning of 2022.
All right, thank you for that question, Peter. well, if there's any others, otherwise we have one more kind of topic that will roll into December that we do want to kind of jumpstart, and we might have some audience assistance here.
I want a quick timeout.
All right.
We're not going to roll into December, bro. It is December.
All right. Well, continue rolling.
Okay, I'm just letting you know that
I do understand.
If you have 2021 goals, you got about 20 something days to knock them out.
Yeah, get those like Strava circles completed all the
Absolutely.
Way through. All right. So we did this a few years ago, and we wanted to bring it back. Our own award for the year. So. We did this, I think this began, the origin story was some hand-holding going mm-hmm. on at the finish of 100-mile races, which, you know, not a huge fan of it. Like, it's a race, let's race it out. But I get it, you know. We're all here to help one another. But the Ultra Bromance and the Ultra Womance of the year. So we want to bring it back. We've got a few nominees, and then we're going to put it out to you guys, the audience, either online or here. If you have any more... We're gonna take some nominations, and I think we did a vote last time. We'll probably do that again.
Yeah.
So, first off, we've got Jim Walmsley and Francois Den. I think we kind of saw this developing in 2019. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2019 when Francois first came out for Hard Rock to scope it out.
Yep.
They started doing some training runs together. Of course, they're from different brands, and then you saw it play itself out through the Long Shorts Solomon TV episode that just dropped. You had Jim pacing Francois at Hard Rock, and then them racing head-to-head at UTMB this year.
I mean, it's one that comes to mind because of its recency and the fact that they're both at the top of the sport, both won major ultra-trail races in the past 5 months. So the fact that they can still bond over their shared experience, I think goes a long way. And they might be up there with vote-getters, but... We got to talk about Debo and Ryan Thrower. Debo rebranded yet again. It's now the Free Trail podcast and app. Shout out to them for getting that done before the Spotify Wrapped post started coming out. So at least they got the new name out very quickly via some viral marketing. So good job there. But they've been tearing it up all year.
Dynamic duo.
Just the dynamic duo. Yep. And this the content that Debo's been putting out all year. I mean, I think a lot is owed to Ryan when it comes to that. So they're definitely up there in my list.
So in our last four, I guess, the bros is Mike Foote and Adam Peterman. Mm-hmm. Do you have the backstory on this one?
Yeah, we touched on it a little bit a few weeks ago. Peterman just won JFK 50. No surprise to Mike Foote because Mike Foote was his cross-country coach like a decade ago. They did a Death Valley traverse by foot. Adam, as a high school student, was like, I want to do this. Mike was like, yeah, I'm down. And the two of them were like camping out and running and biking all the way from Death Valley to Mount Whitney. And to see them sort of come back to prominence this year, Footy had a whole like
long post.
Yeah, long IG post, yeah. Brings the tears. There's some good things happening there. So we'll see how that continues to develop. That might almost be like a father-son relationship at this point, but it's all G.
Yeah, that far apart in age, but all right. So yeah, welcome any more nominations for that. Moving on to the ladies, Courtney DeWalter and Maggie Guterl. This one has been also developing a great friendship. Doing miles together at Barkley. They dropped on the same lap at Biggs this year. I mean, bittersweet moment for both of them. They timed themselves out. Yep. Short of 200 miles, which is like pretty unexpected for both of them.
Yeah. I mean, especially given that they also shared a good number of miles at Cocodona together.
Yep,
you know, coming out of the way Courtney to pace Maggie. So they've shared a lot of time together on foot, just in race scenarios that we've seen, let alone their own personal exploits. So they're definitely up there in terms of consideration for just like overall manse of the year.
Yep. And our final one.
The Trail Society pod.
Yeah. Trail Society, the trio.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got Hillary, you got Keely, and you got Corinne.
Yeah. And I mean, when we, hell, going back to our conversation around inclusion, if you want to talk about a group of folks who've like really shined a particular light, they're up there. That they are definitely carrying the load in terms of highlighting a specific perspective that doesn't get covered in the media broadly, especially in the ultra space. So just for the work that they've done alone, you have to shout them out. But obviously there's a lot of appreciation they have amongst themselves. I should have gave Corinne the heads up this past weekend that this was coming down the pipeline to see if she had some feelings on the matter. But I think we'll have some folks that are definitely backing them up. But if you have other suggestions, definitely make sure you let us know either in the Air Viper Running Discord channel, which is also linked in the description of all of the podcasts at this point, or in the comments. Let us know what's up, what's good. Hit us on Instagram. Create your own polls. I don't care how you do it. Just figure out who needs some love and who should we be shouting out, because 2021 has also been a long, long year, and we got to spread the love out.
Well, things are wrapping up here at the running event as we speak. We're past 4 o'clock.
We got more lights and then off. And then people are breaking things down, which means it's my cue to go because there's a happy hour going down and it's calling my name. So
that's right.
Anything you want to end on, sir?
I think that's it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe. Thank you for all of you in the audience. Woo! Yes. Yeah, that's it.
It's been great.
Yeah, you do the closing thing. It's so good every time.
He's been Jam Jam. I've been Skizzle Fresh. This has been a podcast, and we'll catch you guys next Tuesday live on YouTube. Have yourselves a shitty week.
All right.